Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
The Bible was given so that those believers be edified, and the church was to edify the saints.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Heron with today's message.
Let me tell you a story that I heard and challenged about a few weeks ago that I think illustrates what I'd like to talk about today. It was mission work that in the Congo over 100 years ago was established. And over that 100-year period, lots of activities started to take root in that whole area. And so they had a big anniversary celebration, and they asked for the missionaries' families that were still able and willing to come, to be able to come together. And they invited all of the cities and the communities and villages and that whole area of the Congo that had been influenced by this mission work. So here you are 100 years later now, and all of these natives and all the tribes and all the missionaries and what families that were still around coming together to have a big fiesta and celebrate the ongoing gospel work in that area. Included in that was a missionary that had really been instrumental, his family invited to come. And all the work that had been done, and 100 years ago, God had burdened some men and women go to the area of the Congo, the gospel had not been there. So here you are now, a century later, all these people gathered together, and they had this huge fiesta and all this eating and celebration and singing and testimonies. And there was one of the men that was a little over 100 years old that also was there at this celebration. And he was the only one that had, at the very beginning of the work 100 years earlier, as a young child, had been there and remembered how that mission work got started. And he was, in his expression, one which you could tell he was so thrilled with all that take place, but there was something that was bothering him. So all of this celebration's happening and going on, and they were recounting what happened that brought the work now to where it is in the celebration. And they were rehearsing. Well, fact is, look at Acts 14. In similar fashion, Acts 14, it gives to us a mission mandate that you will find all through Scripture, particularly through the book of Acts. But it's condensed in Acts 14, verse 21 through 27 and 28. And there in verse 27, you see as they rehearsed all that God had done with them. And now he had opened the door of faith. And that door of faith, may I add, he's saying, was not a door of works. It wasn't a door of the law. He used that term that the door of faith was opened. Faith began going to all nations, as Romans 1 states. Now, let me lay this out for you, because just as it was in this mission work in Congo, was the same template that was set here you find in the Bible. And so, very simply, the early church had an unusual measure of growth. And I put in the introduction, how do we at Harvest accomplish our mission to help people develop a heart for God? We're doing that through the area of our own local area, our regional area, and globally, as Acts 1:8 states. But I think the Bible gives the church a fourfold strategy for its missionary mandate, as it was in the Congo, as it is throughout the world, and I believe it starts right here. And I want to walk through this very quickly with you. It's probably a review for some, but I think it's important. Now, before I can do that, let me give you a little context. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts 13. Let me give you what this setting is, and the context is the early church. And the early church started in Jerusalem through great persecution. the gospel spread throughout the whole known world, and it primarily started with a man named Paul, used to be Saul. I'm sure you're familiar with him. He was really the first frequent flyer. I think he had platinum plus in his mileage bank, I'm sure. Okay, mileage bank as in ships and on land. He traveled more of the known world than anyone that's recorded, at least that we have, in any kind of history. And it's amazing to me that you'll find it starting in Acts 13 after Barnabas and Saul had returned from Jerusalem. And here they are meeting now in Antioch. And in Antioch, there were a number of people, the prophets and teachers. It says in Acts 13, verse 1, there were Barnabas and Simeon and Lucius and Manaen and then Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein I've called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them. And so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, started this journey. And over chapter 13 into chapter 14, they visited seven different particular towns and villages. And out of Jerusalem came all the missionary efforts. The first missionary journey, one of three, that Paul took. He went up to Antioch, and that town right there is like Jerusalem was. It was a massive group of Christians. And out of that came the desires that we read in Acts 13 for Paul and Barnabas to leave there and go on a missionary journey. They took 1,200 miles. They went seven towns, okay? From here, they went down to Cyprus, beautiful little island just like Guam. And that's true. You went to one town here, another town there, came up down through here, modern-day Turkey, came down here to Derbe. That's where you pick up Acts 14. And they could have went another 160 miles to Tarsus. Whose hometown is that? Paul. Wouldn't have been a great thing. Hey, let's go visit mom and dad. They turned around and came back through these same seven towns and ended up going then back to Antioch. Acts 15, they come down here, have a big Jerusalem council, and then from Acts 16, 17 on through the rest of Acts, you find a second missionary journey, a third missionary journey, and then because of all of his frequent flyer miles, he got to go to Rome, one-way ticket, and he never came back. That's what you have as the book of Acts. That's a little context of this. Now you say, Pastor, what's the big deal? The way that this happened right here, this is, I believe, the simple strategy that God laid out for how the gospel will reach countries and why we as a church follow through with this same strategy. Now, what is that? Let me give it to you. It's look at Acts chapter 14. I'm going to go fairly simply, but it moves forward. It's right straight out of the text, verse 21, chapter 14. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again. They had been at Derbe. Now they turned around and went back again through these towns right here. And what were they doing? They were confirming the souls of the disciples. They came back through. They were exhorting them to continue in the faith, that faith to all nations. And then they said that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. So then they ordained them elders in every church. They prayed with fasting. They commended them to the Lord, on whom they believed. Then they went on down through these other towns. They preached the word continually, that the grace would be of God for the work which they fulfilled. They did everything that God told them to do. Then they went back, then they rehearsed everything that happened. Now, what is that saying to us? What is that context saying to us? I think it's saying this. Number one, notice, they evangelized the unsaved. That's what it says in verse 21. They preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples. It was the first missionary journey. And this elite group of men, these were not men that couldn't get a job anywhere else. These were guys that were leaders. And God said, I'm going to send out my best. And they began evangelizing the unsaved. And what was the strategy? They were proclaiming the word of God. And I'm going to follow through each one of these because Ephesians 2, 8, 9, 2 Timothy 1, 5, reinforced this had been continual. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, this was what they preached the gospel, because it was a gospel that was saying, God's given by grace a gift to you, my friend. He said, it's not by works of righteousness which you have done. It's not you working your way to heaven. To you Jews, you can keep all the law you want. That's not going to get you to heaven. He's saying it's by the grace of God, through the blood of Christ, by what he hung on the cross. That's what the gospel was. He was preaching this, and you know what's happening? In every town, people were getting saved. And you know what else was happening? People were getting ripped. To the point, at one of those towns, they grab Paul and take him out of the city and stone him. Right after, they had had a huge event that took place, and all kinds of people getting saved. And so, there was an evangelizing of the unsaved. They were proclaiming the word of God. And on top of that, the result was converts were being saved. And that's the term that the Bible uses, a convert. They are being converted to the truth. This isn't some religion. This isn't some cult. This isn't some weirdo that came up with some idea. And, hey, you know, let's do this. I know. Let's talk. See that comet in the sky right there? That comet, Hail Bob, is going to come down, and we have to get ready because God's going to take us home. And so, you know what we need to do? Dress black, put on tennis shoes, and take this Kool-Aid that's got poison in us, and you'll fall asleep and you'll wake up in heaven on the tail of comet Hail Bob. Do you remember, any of you remember that? 23 people. It happened down the street from where my parents used to live. I'm going to tell you something. If whatever you hear does not match up to this Bible right here in full, I would be very suspect of it. It's not what the Bible has to say. And so they're evangelizing the unsaved. Number two, in addition to that, it says in verse 22, they were confirming the souls of the saints. In other words, they were, as the strategy is, they were perfecting of those Christians. They were maturing them. They were confirming. Con mean with firmness. They were coming along and with God's word, firming up their beliefs. And the result was the confirming of those saints. That's why Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 says that the Bible was given so that those believers be edified, and the church was to edify the saints. Understanding that, number three, in the end of verse 22, they were exhorting them to continue in the faith. The word exhort means to come alongside of, and a root word of that. They were equipping them. And the strategy was to prepare them for service. Ephesians 6:10. They were soldiers. Now Paul here, in a few years later, writing to Ephesus, he said in Ephesians 2 that it's by grace through faith alone that you're saved and you become a convert. He's saying in Ephesians 4 that the church was there to equip you, to help disciple you. What's the word disciple mean? To help you to learn, to grow. And then beyond that now, as those churches also were being equipped, they were being prepared for service. You say, well, what happened during this preparation time? Remember Acts 13? They had a godly men, Acts 13, verse 2. They were godly men. They were godly in their exercise. They prayed. They fasted. They ministered to the Lord, the same term as worship to the Lord. As what we on Sundays try and worship the Lord by drawing our time and our attention and our focus and our service to the Lord.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.